Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Real facts about the 988 Lifeline.
We respect people's confidentiality. People do not need to tell us their name or where they live or where they're at.
Call, text, or chat 988 for free. Confidential support anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
Developers reportedly refrain from criticizing development bottlenecks for fear of blacklisting. That's according to Round Tower Investment Group, who say there's a culture of silence surrounding utility delays. Developers fear that they'll be snubbed in their own projects if they speak out, and this in turn has led to further delays, exacerbating the housing crisis. Well, with me now is Ian Lawler, Managing Director of Round Tower Capital. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, just to explain, what does Round Tower Capital do?
Well, we're funding house builders, plain and simple.
So that's where you come into this equation.
Exactly. We spend every day of the week, we're dealing with house builders, apartment builders, and we are in our own motivation trying to get them to build more and borrow more from us. And as a result, we find out the delays that are stopping them from doing so. And
So you might expect a builder to come along with a particular project and look for money from you. You make a profit on that, which is fair enough.
Yep.
Absolutely right and proper. But you're saying, why isn't this project coming through? And they said, we can't start it, therefore we don't need the money because of these delays.
Exactly. Or we were expecting to begin it in January and now it's March and where are you with it? And
they're not drawing down.
Exactly. They're not drawing down. They're not able to progress.
Now, explain to me the kind of delays they are facing. Where are these delays?
Okay, well, obviously, and you're always speaking about, the planning delays, the planning system. We could put that aside for one second, though that needs to speed up an awful lot. But what we see is many skilled, hardworking people working in different departments, different associations to do with house building. And whilst they're all very good, they're all protecting their own piece of turf. They're not talking to each other. And you end up with situations I can explain in a moment through a few little simple case studies. But it would be so much more improved if people could speak and communicate
now,
better.
What's this about naming a development?
Yes. So in order for you to get your Irish Water and your ESB connection, you have to agree with the council the name of the development. How do you do this? You submit three names to your county council and they have 3 months to respond to you and accept or reject.
3 months. Then.
3 months. You would think you could sit down and do it in an afternoon.
So you might have, top of the hill, bottom of the valley.
Yeah, you're normally looking for some historical connection or relevant connection to the
And
to
who
the land.
Decides in the council then which name is appropriate?
Well, we'd love to know and meet him because I'll give you an example. Less than 2 miles from here, apartment development, they're ready to begin. Often what happens is by the time the developer has purchased the site, it already has the planning permission and maybe 1, 2, 3 years have lapsed on it. You've got maybe 1 to 2 years to get what they call substantial completion. In this case, they submit their three names, they're rejected. They submit three more. This is, of course, after 3 months. They submit three more names, they're rejected. They get to speak to someone in the council who helps them with two names. They then go back. We're now into month 7. They submit the three names, they are rejected.
I mean, if anyone's watching this on streaming, they know I'm just shocked.
Yes.
I'm also slightly amused that these people can carry on with this kind of caper. That they send back names and names and names because every development has a postcode.
Yes, why can't we go off a grid reference or a postcode? Exactly. And this is a crisis. Why are we allowing something like that to happen?
So you can name the damn thing after it's built.
Yes.
And how it fits into the landscape might suggest a name, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they need something with a historical resonance or some sort of cutie name that they like. And
you get no guidance. When you get the same with a planning refusal, you get no chance to adjust it. You have to go back down. It's a game of snakes and ladders. You're back down to the start of it again, and off you go. And, you know, we can, you know, there's another, I mentioned substantial completion. Yeah. What is substantial completion? That is also a grey area. So a builder is trying to reach a certain milestone because they only have a limited amount of time left on their planning application. Sometimes substantial completion can be the site's cleared. Sometimes it's the wall plate is up. Sometimes it's the roof is on. What is your substantial completion? You just have to, and we've seen a number of cases where the builder is running like mad. In one case, he was clearing rock off the site. Very difficult to clear all this rock off the site. But there was over $1.5 million spent on clearing the rock. They missed their substantial completion, in inverted commas.
Yeah.
They lose the planning. They don't get granted an extension. They're right back to square one. That's going to be another 2 or 3 years now before that site is back into construction, if he's not.
This is insane.
Yeah, yeah.
So these are the practicalities for developers on the ground. I mean, we hear about all sorts of planning difficulties and so on, but this stupid bureaucracy that is getting in the way of completions.
Can I mention one other thing, which came up a number of times when we spoke to our clients? What happens is, let's say you've got your houses complete and you're waiting for the utility connection, be it ESB or Irish Water, to connect. You can only ring them so many times. Then you've got finished houses. They look finished. You've got buyers waiting to move into them.
Yeah.
The buyers are ringing the developer saying, why can't I move into my house? And this is where some developers have learned from a mistake. They say, well, the reason we can't is because we can't get the ESB connection or we can't get the Irish Water connection. So some of those buyers will know somebody who knows somebody. And now you have somebody chasing from a buyer's side into the utility. And I've heard it on several occasions where the utility, somebody in there is then saying to our developer, you're causing trouble. You're at the back of the list now.
Well, I mean, that's it's hearsay, so we can't necessarily say it's fact. But if that were to be the case,
drives this culture of silence that you have with the developers. That is why, and they'll often have emails backing up their own argument. They can say nothing. And in the case I just mentioned there, the best thing they can do is actually keep the buyer in the dark, because they're afraid if the buyer knows that that's the block, they start to try to clear the block, but it's the developer gets blamed.
Okay, and then if that is the case, I'm sure they'll deny that this happens, because this has got to be some individual somewhere who's piqued by this kind of interference in what they see as their job. But the question is whether or not the connections can be made. I mean, I believe that it is improper to start a construction unless you have the connection there. I mean, it's one of the issues that we have in planning, that developers are allowed to even begin construction without knowing there's the security of a connection to the utilities.
Yeah, well, of course, in an ideal world, you'd have service sites that already have the utilities connected by the time the developer gets there. But we know that it's when the developer applies to commence construction, he then... And I'll give you another example. A developer who purchased the site, again, planning had only a couple of years left to run in it, let's say about 15, 16 months left to run in it. He then, after purchasing the site, arranging his finance, getting everything lined up, he contacted the ESB, who came out and said, well, this site won't get connected for about two and a half years. So his planning permission was going to be expired by the time the utility was going to get out there. And again, it's not the ESB's fault. It's, you know, perhaps they're under-resourced.
The planning board should not be giving planning permission to any developer to build anything unless there is a secure arrangement to have the utilities on site when they are required. I mean, they don't have to be there in advance. Ideally, they should be.
Yeah, agreed.
But they shouldn't be allowed to give permission unless that is a guarantee. Yeah. Anyway, in the meantime, developers are fearful of raising their heads above the parapet.
Yes, and the construction industry does know how to address these concerns if they get more engagement and are listened to.
All right, Ian Lawler, Managing Director of Round Tower Capital. Ian, thank you very much for joining us. We'll have news next.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Here are a few things the responders at the 988 Lifeline want you to know.
We want to be that listening ear to provide support.
A crisis is a self-defined moment, so a crisis can look different for everybody. Anyone who calls can share whatever they want to share. If they want to tell us their name, they're welcome to, but it's not necessary.
Call, text, or chat 988 for free. Confidential support anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.